starts it. We're going to learn today about the final confrontation between Yaakov and Lavan. And we're going to read through some of the text, and then we're going to ask ourselves some questions, and hopefully we'll have some answers. And this is one of those where I'm going to suggest a mahalach, a sort of a perspective on to answer some of the questions, and you can take it or leave it if you like, because it's not going to be like all the other commentators. Okay, so turn to Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Chapter 31, verse 17, which is... hello.
Hello.
Isn't there another one? Oh, where's the other one?
Welcome.
Ah, okay. Hi, welcome. Okay. Chapter 31, verse 17, which is the beginning of the story of the return, of Yaakov's return from Haran back to Eretz Canaan. And just to recap the story, it's very important for us to know the story. You know, we all know Yaakov ran away. The whole story is Yaakov ran away from Esav, highly recommended. Yaakov ran away from Esav. He went to Haran. He ends up with Lavan. He marries Rachel. Well, actually, first he marries Leah. Then he marries Rachel. Right? They have 11, 12 children over a period of time. Lavan, like Yaakov, is working as a shepherd in Lavan's house. Right? Yaakov becomes, at the very end, Yaakov, through divine inspiration, becomes wealthy. Right? God tells him how to manipulate the animal husbandry in such a way that all of his animals give birth to a ton of other animals. And now it's time to go. Because Baruch Hu, God actually comes to Yaakov and says, go home. Okay? And now we're at the story where time comes to go home. Vayakom Yaakov, Perek Yudzayin, everybody with me. Perek Elamir Al Pasuk Yudzayin. Vayakom Yaakov, Vayisad Banav Ve'ed Nashav Al Hagmalim. Yaakov got up, and he lifted up all of his children, his sons, and his wives on the camels. Vayinhag et kol miknehu ve'et kol rechusha asher rachash mikne kinyano asher rachash pipiyat padan aram lavo el Yitzchak aviv artza kinan. So, and he led his cattle and his property that he had accumulated. Mikne kinyano, the acquirings of his cattle that he acquired in Padan Aram, to go to Yitzchak, his father, in the land of Canaan. And it just seems very repetitive, that pasuk, but we're not going to stop on it. Okay. V'Lavan halach ligzoz et zono. Where's Lavan this time?
He's with his
sheep. Right, they went to the shearing festival, 3 days travel away. V'tignov Rachel et ha-trafim asher le'aviha. And Rachel stole the trafim that belonged to her father. This is very unusual, very strange, and it raises two questions. Question one is...
Why did she steal?
No, that's question two.
She did.
It says she stole it. Well, question one is...
What are trafim?
What are trafim? You think you know the answer to that question, but it's not so clear. The word trafim, this actually is a debate among many, many commentaries, as we'll soon see. The word trafim appears in a number of different instances in a number of different cases. So it's a term that can apply to different things in different contexts. Okay, so what are the trafim? Let's first look at Rashi. And the answer to A is, of course, leads into the answer to B. Or it's related to the answer to B. What does the word trafim literally mean? No, don't look at the art scroll one. Anybody with a non-art scrolly translation? Because I think art scrolls are kind of translated as idols, correct?
Yeah.
Right?
No, he has to do trafim.
Oh, he just says trafim.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Trafim also.
Very nice. Yours, trafim. Like seraphim, like angels, and nobody else says, oh, very good. So that's interesting. That's unusual. Usually you'll translate it. Obviously, what's the reason why it says trafim?
Because we don't know what they are.
Correct, because it's a very vague translation. This is a very important thing, critically important, because we're going to see the trafim is a theme here. It's an ongoing theme. So what are the trafim? Says Rashi. Artigno, Rachel et ha-trafim. Lahavrish et aviha me avodat elilim nitkavna. Right? She wanted... Why did she steal the trafim?
She wanted to stop... That he stops doing Avodah Zarah.
Right. This is based on the Midrash. Right? The Midrash says... Reshit Rabbah says the following. Why did she do it? So, well, first of all, what are trafim?
Idols. Something to do with idolatry.
Idolatry. What are trafim? Idolatry. And it says the Midrash. He lo itkavna ela l'shem shamayim. Rachel, tzadikes. She had the shem shamayim. Amra... How can I leave and leave this for this zaken?
The rest of the
whitewashing of the Midrashim for the last few parshiyos.
You just like that theme of Midrash whitewashing.
Yeah, or at least the ones Rashi's choosing.
Yeah.
Meaning there are other ones, but Rashi seems to go according to this keyboard.
Well, the real question is the Midrash, are there alternate Midrashim that you could choose from? Are you familiar with other Midrashim? Yeah, about this issue.
Uh-huh. Meaning the other, only other option is to say that you want it to be Oved at the Avodah Zarah.
That's really? That's your only other option?
In this scenario, she stole them. She either wants to take them away from her father, or she wants them for herself. Or she wants to sell them.
She wants the money.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Those are not the only two options. There are a lot of different options. And obviously, this is also going to depend on what are trafim.
But the question is what, by stealing the trafim, let's say, if it's idols,
very good.
She's going to change her father.
Ah! Right.
Well, that's what I don't understand. Why didn't she try? If it's to try to change your father, why didn't she try to change him earlier?
Ah, right. Now you're leaving, and now you decide as a parting shot, God, that idolatry that your whole life that's you know they've been involved in, but I'm going to stop you. And also, she steals his idols. Here's the thing that I always wondered that unique to idols, you can make more. You know what I'm saying? You can buy more.
You buy more. It's like a smoker. They want to stop smoking, so you take the cigarettes. They have to now put the effort in to go and buy more cigarettes.
That's really?
She's hoping by removing
really?
Them.
Really? Are you committed? Do you like your honest magazine?
No, but I'm
okay,
saying
okay, fine.
That's taking, though, enough.
Yeah. Okay, it is a unique perspective.
After
so you
sell the cigarettes.
Lignov is a strong word.
Right. Ah, right. Lignov. She stole them. Right. Well, that's a very strong word. And then so we don't... We have the Midrash. We have Rashi. There's going to be a number of other Mefarshim. The Pashtanim have none of this. And remember, it's important to remember with Rashi, Rashi's always stuck with the hair.
But he is blown.
Oh. Rashi's not stuck. Rashi is guided by Midrash. So Rashi picked the Midrash that's best for him. But all of the Pashtanim, among them Rashbam, Ibn Ezra, etc., they're not buying it. They don't really like it. They're not interested in that. First of all, they say, what are trafim? So I'm going to read you if you have Rashbam. Let's see, one second. Rashbam says, okay. Let's read Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra is a long thing about trafim. Do you have Ibn Ezra there? Mm-hmm. Those of you with Ibn Ezra. He says, Yesh amim shehu kli nechoshet. Some say it is a copper utensil, copper vessel. I'm on Ibn Ezra on Yud Tet. Okay? It's a copper utensil. Hasui ladat chelkei hasha'ot. That was used to divide up the hours, meaning it was an elaborate sundial. So why in the world would she steal his elaborate sundial? V'achirim omrim, others say, ki yesh koach b'chachmei ha'amazalot, la'asot tzura b'sha'ot yidu'ot, tedaber ha'tzura. It wasn't in a form of idolatry, it was a form, in other words, of what we would call sorcery. Mm-hmm. It was for lack of a better term, a pensieve. Anybody know what that is? Wow, you guys don't read Harry Potter? None of you read Harry Potter?
That was in Harry Potter.
Yes. Oh, yes. The pensieve.
It's like he's and he sees, you know, that which he really desires.
It was a source of...
Well, no. That's where he sees the...
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we're not going to get into it. Wow, I'm really disappointed. None of you read Harry Potter?
I've read it several times. I've made it for everybody else.
If your children read it, you got to know what they're reading, no?
Yeah.
Anyway. What?
I also
trust it is quite. It's excellent. It's wonderful, but you got to know. Okay, anyway. So it's an item used for sorcery. Okay? One second. The Hakarov Eli, he says, but I think, Shahatrafim him outsurot bnei Adam, they take the form of people, i.e., little dolls.
Like voodoo dolls.
The Kabel Koach Elyonim. And it is made to take upon the powers of the Elyonim, v'lo uchal afaresh. I can't explain. It's very unusual.
But that is closer to the concept of idols.
Of idols? Well, no. Voodoo dolls are not idols.
No, but
that's not an idol.
No, he's not describing necessarily a voodoo doll. He's describing something that takes the form of a person that has koach Elyonim.
Now, the reason
why... could be idols.
Well, no, because you wouldn't worship it. You would want to utilize the force. In the trophy.
Is it the god? I don't know, I can't remember the word, but there's like...
The Rastafarian guys or the Buddha guys? Yeah.
Golem.
The golem?
Just a golem.
Well, first of all, nobody ever knows. Like, there's a legend of a golem. There isn't any evidence of a golem. Okay.
It sounds like a...
No, this is clearly sorcery. This is black magic.
Oh,
Okay, and the many of the Pashtanim believe Lavan was a mena. He says he calls himself. He says he does nichush. Ki nichashti ki imasi asiti. Lavan himself says, "I do nichush. Nichush is sorcery. Lavan is a sorcerer. He believes in it. Just I mean, this is a many of Chazal, most Chachamim believed in sorcery, the power of black magic. They thought that Harry Potter, for better or for worse, of course, it's not a school in Northern England, but there is such a thing as black magic. There is power in the world, and actually." I mean, it's pretty clear in the Torah, it says, you're not allowed to do right. Lot
Nechesh, Mechashev. It doesn't exist, it says you're not allowed to do
it. Right, so the Rambam, who's a total, what's the word? Not logic, he's the Rambam is a rationalist, would say you're not allowed to do these things even if they don't work. That they're ki'ilu work. Rambam would say that. But most simple understandings, most, we have chairs. Okay, they're in the behind the door in the office, there's green chairs. And, yeah, I mean, you're good? I mean, it's okay. You know. So the price is the same, right?
So
okay.
With this so, explanation, it makes sense.
No, why did he steal? Why did she steal them? If the trophy are.
Because she was scared, perhaps he would use.
Excellent. That's exactly what Ibn Ezra says. Says Ibn Ezra, why did she steal it? Okay.
It's both options of all.
One second, Ish Omar. One second. Valkyrie, one second. Let me see if we can find it.
But again, wouldn't he just make more?
Okay.
Maybe he needed the sign.
Here we are. Okay. Upachda, therefore, he says the following. I'm on Tafkuf Ayin Zayin, if you're interested at the top. V'yesh Omer, some say, Shemechel Ganav Tam Levatel Avodah Zarah Mi'aviha. She stole them so that he would have Avodah Zarah. He says, but, V'ilu Hayakein, if that was true, Lahama Lahodicha Ota Imam. V'lo Tamantem Aderech. She should have got rid of them. Well, why'd she keep them? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a very good question. V'hakarov, Shayal Lavan Avia Yodea Mazalot. I think he knew sorcery. Upachda Avia Yistakel B'Mazalot Ladat Eza Derech Baruch Hu. Right? And she was afraid that he would look into Yusuf's sorcery to follow her. Right? So therefore, you know, like the Trafim with the GPS, you know, which Yaakov is here, and he would just know where to go. That's okay, except there's one problem with that. Problem with that is?
He probably knows where they're going.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's not so hard. I mean, it doesn't seem that without the trephine, Laban didn't really have much trouble catching up anyway. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like Yaakov, poor Yaakov, he's got the whole family, he's got all this stuff. It takes Laban, according to Rashi, one day.
Right, he gets on his horse and he rides.
That's right, to catch up to Yaakov's 7-day journey.
It also agrees to ascribe the power to the trephine. Meaning, if you think...
I don't have a problem with that. Do you have a problem with that? Ibn Ezra, who's the Pashtun, has no problem with that.
Yeah, I personally do, but...
You do?
Yeah, but...
You don't believe in the power of the black man? Oh, really?
No, I don't believe that he had a GPS on these things. I don't think they could do that. How could they do that?
No, it's okay.
I don't believe it.
Okay.
So I have an issue.
I totally do. I really do. I believe that.
I believe they work for those who believe in them, meaning they do something for that person, but I don't believe they have an objective power to work. You understand what I'm saying?
So you think when the Chartumim in Mitzrayim, the Torah says the Chartumim in Mitzrayim did their magic and recreated, it was all sleight of hand?
Yeah.
Really?
That's what I think.
Okay. I mean, which would make all of Egypt really gullible, especially the Pharaoh.
Yeah. But I'm saying, for them it works. For them, they ascribe power to it, and for them, it works. It doesn't matter how it's done. It matters who believes in it.
Okay. This is not a debate we're going to resolve. Yes. No. Yes.
I struggle with the idea, if she's got all these altruistic motives, why is she punished for it?
Why is she punished?
Well, she's killed, isn't she? When Lavan discovers it and Yaakov says whoever has him.
Yeah.
So if they're so altruistic, like, where's her, like... It should be some kind of divine protection.
Who
or said,
really? The fact that somebody's that somebody acts out of altruism doesn't make A, their actions correct, and B, them free from punishment for it. You might think you're doing the right thing, doesn't make it right.
He went and broke all his father.
That's Midrashim. And Avraham, by the way, that Midrashim, but Avraham is more palatable because he's a young kid. It would make sense. He's living in his father's house. You know, he just can't abide the idolatry. And it's on top. it's a midrash. So, above all. So, we're still stuck. What are the trafim? So, according to Rashi, they were idolatry. And she wanted to rid her father's house of idolatry. Do we like that shot? No, we don't. According to Ibn Ezra, it's nichush. Okay, it's some kind of sorcery. And she's hoping that her father, what?
Could it be revenge?
I'm just rejecting one. Would you like that shot? It's okay, it's better, but we don't love it. What, number three?
Revenge.
For our?
Leah. she wanted Yaakov, and she allowed her sister.
Revenge against Leah?
Not against Leah, against her father, for creating all the situation and putting all the stuff.
She just wants to get back at him
for all the difficulty he's created.
So she stole the trephine. That's a theory. Isn't it interesting, though, that I just want to point out that when you go through the Pshatim and you start listing and saying, well, that doesn't make sense, well, that's hard, then we start coming up with these more interesting creative answers to try to figure out what would possibly motivate her. Why would she do that? Remember, what did you say, the third, Karen, you say that? Who said it? Oh, you said it could only be, what, you know, but
no, I don't think that makes sense.
What was your third answer? What was the one you said?
To sell them herself.
Avodah Zarah. And we think that's not possible, but is it not?
But you're saying that it's not necessarily Avodah Zarah, it's possibly black magic.
To use them herself, that would also trouble us. That would also trouble us.
It would also trouble us, but it's not the same as Avodah Zarah.
Okay, fine. Okay, or, right. And clearly we're going to see that she keeps them. She's protecting them. Okay, and which is unusual in and of itself. See, I told you you have chairs.
The Bible Lands Museum. They're not, obviously, not these specific ones, but I guess it's based on historical artifacts.
Yeah.
I used to think, like, the concept of Avodah Zarah, when you have a picture of Avram Avinu, like, with that medjar, she pictured these, like, tall statues.
Right.
They're, like, this big.
They're very small, right? They carry
like,
them. Amulets.
They're like a camel, because, like, if they're so big,
No.
Not like those big
things. You go... Have you been to the Israel Museum, the refurbished Israel Museum? Have you been there?
Not yet.
So just so you know, on Tuesdays, it's free for kids, I think. And maybe even on vacations, often they let families in for cheap. And it's really worthwhile, really, really worthwhile to go. And it's a good day. But also, you see, they don't have a very religious bent at all. But you see, like, they have a lot of artifacts like that. Like amulets and just items like that, idolatry. It's foreign to us. It's very foreign to us, but... You know, something there. One gets the sense that she stole something of value to her father for a reason. You know what I'm saying? Let's leave it at that. And the question is, what's the reason? She wanted to steal something from her father. You could say get back at him. That's an interesting question, to get back at him. That's a very interesting question. Let's pass it. So let's leave that question open. What?
Yeah.
At least a woman said that. I could get in real trouble for saying that.
That'd be the way Hollywood would play it.
What do you mean? Bitter at her father?
Hollywood would never accept that this woman who that happened to was at peace with her situation.
Okay. Very good. That's very good. Okay.
Could it be that she wanted something that was important to him as, like, if she thought she was never going to see him again?
Her father.
Yeah.
And she wanted to
keep wanted something to remember.
So therefore, wouldn't she...
They weren't pictures.
No, I don't know. They didn't have
Let me say this. They weren't close. And the reason I know they weren't close is, and we're going to get back to this, before Yaakov leaves, he calls his wives out to the fields. And the Rashi says, the reason he calls them out to the fields, is a great line, is because the walls have ears. Right? And he says, it's time to go. Do you guys have any problem with going? And they say to him, Matan Rachel Balaya Batomarna, Ha'od lanu chelek v'nachala b'veit avinu? Do we have a portion in our father's home? Halo nachriot nechshavnu lo ki macharnu. We are nachriot, we are strangers to him. He has sold us. Vayochal gam achol et kasfenu. And he's also used up all our money. So one doesn't get the sense that, what?
Sounds pretty bitter.
Yeah, they're not close. You're not going to get the sense that there's like, you know, any love lost between them. Okay, so let's read back. Vayignov Rachel et ha'trafim asher la'aviha. Next pasuk, kaf. Vayignov Yaakov et lev lavan ha'arami. Al b'li higid lo ki boreachu. Yaakov stole the heart of Lavan ha'arami on the fact that he did not tell him ki boreachu. That he is running away. What's the word livroach?
To escape.
To?
Escape.
Not to escape. To flee. To run away. Okay, and then there's one more word. One more pasuk. Pasuk habalev. Vayivrachu v'chol ashalo. Vayaka vayavor et hanahar. Vayasem et panav har gilad. And he fled, he and all that was with him, and he got up and he passed over the river and he faced towards har gilad. How does Yaakov sound in these two pasukim?
Weak.
Scared. Right? He doesn't come
on. It sounds like if he is to tell Lavan that he was going to leave, Lavan would stop him.
What? Like,
that if he was going to tell Lavan, he felt that Lavan would stop him.
Lavan would?
Stop him from leaving.
Kill him.
Okay.
Why would he kill him? He's brought him all this prosperity.
Right. Meaning, the word vayivrach, okay, it's a fascinating word. Some Pedrush, I don't remember who, I saw this recently, says, what's the difference, what is the meaning of the word livroach, vayivrach, to run away? So he says, the difference between boreach, okay, and there's nisa, right? Nisa means to flee, okay? But that means to flee from present danger. What's livroach mean? Boreach? Boreach means to run away from imagined danger, from future danger. Okay? So one second. I don't see it. Okay? But what does it mean that Yaakov stole the heart of Lavan? Vaygnov Yaakov et lev Lavan. Ha'arami. Abelihi ilaki boreach. He stole his heart.
Well, initially you would think it's his
very strange phrase. What?
I mean, when you that's your gut reaction, initial reaction.
Yes.
It's his children.
Right. Okay. What should Yaakov have done? I clearly see there's like a value judgment here. Doesn't this sound like there's a value judgment?
Manipulating.
What should Yaakov have done?
Oh, gone to him and said, I'm leaving.
Yeah. Lavan, the time has come. Right? Time to go. I made this money. You don't like it. We'll negotiate it. We won't negotiate it. You know what I'm saying? Is it really about the money? So what is Yaakov afraid of? Right? That, why doesn't he tell him?
He's not going to let him.
What? What does that mean? He's not going to let him. What does that mean?
He's not going to give a blessing.
You mean physically he's going to stop him? Or he's going to insist and say, I can't let you go. I need you still.
He's going to physically stop
him. He's going to physically prevent him from leaving. Okay? And then what's Yaakov going to have to do? Okay, so what's Yaakov essentially doing by stealing the heart of Lavan?
Avoiding war.
Avoiding war? Is it? Does Yaakov think that love is going to? I don't know. Maybe he will. Maybe he does think that.
But this is kind of what he did before. Like instead of getting into a conflict with his son, he fled.
He fled.
Left.
Correct.
So like instead, like he didn't know what was going to happen with his brother.
Right.
So. Instead of facing it, he avoided it by leaving
Very
without
good.
Saying a word.
Very
and
good.
Here he's kind of doing the same thing.
Correct. And what?
Passive aggressive.
But apart from that, it's also
what's
like
that?
What you're
a little tough on the boat here.
No, but the fact is that but that's kind of how people are. That they what they learn when they're younger and it worked then, they do when they're older because it worked. So why not keep the same for
them? Let me ask you a question: is that a way to run a country?
No, obviously not.
Is that a way to run? Is that
a way
to? Is that
a way
to run a people?
It's not a way to run anything.
Correct. Is that a way to run a house?
A lot of people.
I'll give you an example. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Functioning ways when they're younger.
So I remember I said I was reading. What was I reading last week? Oh, To Kill a Mockingbird. So one of the things I loved about that book was that Atticus never lies to his children. You know what I'm saying? The main story in the book is that there's a trial about a rape. So when this young girl asks, what's rape? Right? So everybody hems and haws. Nobody tells her the truth. And so when she asks her father, he says, it's carnal knowledge by force. So he didn't answer her because she has no idea what that means. You know what I'm saying? But he does answer her because she knows she'll always get a straight answer from him. She might not know what that means, but she knows she'll get a straight answer from him. So yesterday, my daughter had a birthday party and she didn't have a present. She didn't have money to go to Katom. So she spent all this time making a present out of something that she didn't want. You know what I'm saying? And so when my wife came home, she's like, she sort of made a face. So Leah knew that something was wrong, but she didn't know what it was. So we said to her, like, no, you have to tell her what's wrong. Because what's the point of telling her, of communicating something's wrong without telling her what the problem is? So either she can fix it or not fix it. You know what I'm saying? We do this a lot as parents. We communicate disapproval, but we do it in a... What? We don't say what the problem is. And we don't give the child an opportunity to correct it. And that passive aggressiveness, is... I think we're afraid. We try to avoid a confrontation. We don't want to fight about everything. But on the other hand, you're causing tension because a kid knows something's wrong, but he doesn't know how to fix it or what they're doing wrong. And I think that sometimes our inclination is to run away as opposed to, you don't want to make a fight about everything. But if you're not going to make a fight about it, then I think, don't fight about it. Then it's fine. But on the other hand, if you have a problem with it, then you have to say, I don't think I would have done it this way because X, Y, and Z. You know, you can either agree or disagree.
I agree with what you said, but I think,
I know of people who have made transatlantic moves without telling a soul, just them. The next day, they've gone. And then you ask a question. I know three families, one of them who is family of mine.
Yeah.
And the next day, everyone's like, what happened to them? They live quietly. They didn't want a big hoo-ha. They didn't want anyone to know their plans. Meaning, people have these huge upheavals in their lives, and they just
can't
deal
with
them.
Yeah.
They can't deal with it. They don't want to tell anyone. It's all a big secret. I don't know if you can really judge them. What are they running? And that's kind of what he's done. He's making a transatlantic move.
You mean Jacob? Let's go back to Jacob. Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He's not just like avoiding a little conflict with your kids, whatever, because that I really agree with.
Yeah.
He's making a big
shift.
I'm saying, I don't know if we can judge him in that way.
Well, we're judging. The reason I'm asking this is because we're judging him as Yaakov Avinu, as one of the Avot.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Still human beings and still had their voice.
Right, but I think it's fair for me to look at. He's doing something huge. All right. This confrontation with Lavan, the confrontation of Yaakov and Lavan, is a historic confrontation. It's a confrontation that has ramifications for the Jewish people throughout all time. How do I know? How do I know? Because we still talk about it. When do we still talk about this confrontation? On Pesach. Arami Oved Avi. Right? Who's the Arami, says Chazal? This is Lavan. How did Yaakov deal with Lavan? And this dealing with Lavan is important for us. So I understand what you're saying. But you can't just... He doesn't get to be just another person. You know, sometimes because he's an Av, you have to hold him to a higher standard. And I think the Torah does that.
They say lignov.
Yeah, I'm sorry, no matter what you say, by lignov it, it sounds to me like the Torah is saying he didn't...
He was meant to say goodbye.
Not goodbye. I'm leaving. You don't like it? I'm sorry. I have to go back to my father. I have to go back to my land. I have to reestablish my family. And if you want to keep the money, and if that's going to stop you, and if you think the thing is about money, keep it. I didn't have anything when I came. I'll go home with nothing too. My father's got money. You know what I'm saying? Is it have to be about...
I do feel a little bit for Lavan. I mean,
you feel for Lavan? Don't feel for Lavan. You're not supposed to feel for Lavan.
No, because Rachel stole from him his whole belief system, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then Yaakov stole from him, according to the Torah, the Pshat.
Okay, let's read on.
He's left with...
Really, this is a guy, you have to understand, who's been manipulating and cheating his own family for years. Let's go on, because in order to come to answers, we have to read the rest of the story.
Okay.
I'm glad the conversation is about, you know, the Chumash. It's great. Pasuk Abed. But you got Levan b'yamashishiki barach Yaakov. So he found out that Yaakov fled. Vayikach et echav imo vayirdov acharav derech shivat yamim vayadveg oto bahar Gilad. Chased him down. Came down. He chased him down. It says derech shivat yamim, a path of 7 days. I said again, Rashi said it took him 1 day to travel what Yaakov took 7 days, which makes sense because
he didn't have baggage.
Yeah, you know, imagine the whole RV, every time you have to stop. Bathroom stops, you know what I'm saying? Forget it. God came to Lavan in the vision of the night. Be careful. Don't speak to Yaakov, neither good nor bad. Rashi has a very telling comment. What does it mean? Bad, I could see, but why does it say to Yaakov? Why does God say to Lavan? Don't say anything good to him either. So Rashi says, look at Rashi for a second, mitovad ra, kol tovatan shel rasha'im ra'a etzel tzadikim. Your good is his bad. Like, don't do us any favors because what you think is good is bad.
It's still bad.
Right, it's still bad. Okay. But so God comes, I mean, can you imagine? Ribono shel Olam comes in a prophecy to Lavan, who is not our favorite person in the world, right? As a zchut to Yaakov. God is protecting Yaakov. Vayaseg Lavan et Yaakov. Lavan overcomes Yaakov. He overtakes him. Vayaakov takad alo bahars. Yaakov is sent to the mountain. And he's on Har Gilad. I don't really know the geography very well, but one imagines that Yaakov's on one mountain. There's probably a valley in between. Lavan's on the other mountain. Him and his, like, you know, 20 guys. You know what I'm saying? And Yaakov and his family. And he's really quite helpless. That's him and his children, as we know. Yomer Lavan le Yaakov. So Lavan walks over, says to Yaakov, hey! Oh, Lavan. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can imagine that. What are you doing here? Yeah. Vayomer Lavan liYaakov, me asita? What have you done? Vatignov et levavi, vatenaheg et benotai kishviyot charev. You stole my heart. You treated my daughters like captives. The irony here is Lavan, the slimeball, the cheat, the thief. What's the problem with this?
He had cheated his daughters.
Like no. What's the problem? What's the problem in this context? Problem with in this context is he's right. There's nothing worse than the thief being right. What's he going to say? I cheat, you're a cheat. No, but he is cheating.
But how is he right? Because Yaakov asked them.
Right.
You said he called them to the field. And
he asked the daughters. But from Laban's perspective, you lived in my house 20 years. You didn't like the terms, that's one thing. But the least you could do is
say goodbye.
Or, ask permission. There is such a thing as asking permission. We lived together. When Moshe Rabbeinu left Yitro, what did he do? He didn't just leave. God came to Moshe at Har Sinai with a burning bush. Now he's got a reason to leave. But before he did the appropriate thing and he said, I have to go.
Every other time he wanted to leave, the terms and conditions would change. He had to stay.
He never said he wanted to leave before. He said, I wanted to be paid and the terms changed. He knows his father-in-law's a cheat. But you got to suck it up. Go to dad, you know what I'm saying, and ask for permission. That's what you have to do.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
He didn't know what the conditions were gonna be. You can leave in another 20 years.
I'm sorry, I'm leaving. Thank you for. But you know what I'm saying? There's a. It's not just nimus. There's a protocol. You don't just pick up and pack out. You don't. You know what I'm saying? And how do people feel when their family?
They don't feel good.
Yeah.
They don't feel good, but in retrospect, they don't judge.
Really?
Yeah, in retrospect.
You also know this.
I don't really understand
so
it. Why do people?
You're going to phone the whole world and say, and you've got to think, oh, hang on, this person marked.
No, you have to tell. No, but there's a difference between that and not telling anybody. They think your family, like they come over the next day and they're like, the house is empty. You know what I'm saying?
We did that. We left South Africa on Tuesday.
Okay, anyway. Lama nachbeta livroach. Why did you nachbeta? Why did you cower, hide? How does it translate it? Pasuk, Kaf Zayin, 27.
Why have you fled so stealthily?
Stealthily. Why did you stealthily flee? Vatignov oti. You stole from me. You stole me. Velo higare tali. And you didn't tell me. I would have thrown you the greatest party.
That's why.
And now I can't. Now, by the way, he's full of it. He's a bunch of garbage, but that's exactly the problem. You gave
a lot
of what?
A lot of cheese and pizza.
You gave him the ammo. You gave him the gun to shoot you with. You know what I'm saying? He wouldn't have thrown you the party, and he would have given you a hard time. But now he could say that he would have. Right. You know what I'm saying? You didn't even let me kiss my children, my grandchildren. What's wrong with you? You were so hiskalta, sachal. What? Enlightened. How do you translate it?
Foolish.
With sin. No, sachal is a fool.
Foolishly.
Yeah, sachal is a fool.
He acted foolishly.
Yesh le'el yadi lasot imachem ra. A very shocking comment. I have my ability to harm you. Really? And it seems that La Midra says that Lavan, he saw this as a, like, you know, it's like a mafia guy. I could wipe you out. Like, really? That, you think that's good? He says, yes. People who are wicked think their ability to perpetrate evil is a compliment. So he's not even embarrassed to tell somebody, Yesh la yadi la sayyidim achem ra. Okay, ve'elohe avichem. He says, what?
The original godfather.
Yeah, yeah. What did the godfather say? That's exactly what he says. I value relationships. I value your friendship. This is what you did to me. You know what I'm saying? It's true. Okay. This is how you repent. Ve'elohei avichem emesh amar elai lemor. He says, I would, but yesterday your God appeared to me and said, Hishamer lecha midaber im Yaakov mitov adra. He says, but you better be careful. So, and if it wasn't for that God of yours, I would have. Vata halocha lachta kinisof nitzavta lebeit avicha. Go. But I got one question. Lama ganavta et Elohai?
See, now he calls it
Elohim. Yeah, yeah, that's why the Midrash says. Right, that's exactly why the Midrash says that it was a form of idolatry. And then, based on that, then you have to figure, why did she steal the Elohim? He says, why did you steal my gods? Why did you steal my idols? That's a really good question. And Yaakov's thinking to himself, what in the world are you talking about? That's exactly what Yaakov says. Vayan Yaakov v'yom Laban. He answers first. Ki areti ki amarti penzigzolet benotecha me'imi. I was afraid you would steal my daughters. Okay, I was at benotecha. I was afraid. Meaning, why did I run away from you? I ran away because I was afraid. Im asher timsa et Eli says, that's A. That's why I ran away from you. Im asher timsa et Elohecha lo yichia neged achenu. Haker lecha ma'imadi v'kachlach. He says, and nobody stole from you. And whoever stole from you will die. Because that's not, right? V'lo yada Yaakov ki Rachel genavtam. Not that he didn't know. Couldn't imagine. Couldn't imagine. Look at Rashi again. Okay, what does he say? Should have said that. 1 second. Bo yechia lamed bet. U'me'ota klala meta Rachel baderech. You know, you shouldn't say things that you don't mean. You know, so he says from that. Now, obviously, there's a lot of. I mean, it's obviously not pshat. That's not pshat. That's not why Rachel died on the way. Rachel, the Midrash says there are more symbolic and spiritual reasons why you know Rachel had to die on the way. And some say, like the Ramban says, you're not allowed to marry two sisters. So Yaakov didn't have to keep that because he was outside of Eretz Yisrael. But when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, he could only have one wife. He couldn't be married to two sisters at the same time. There are many, many other reasons why Rachel had to die. But it's just a very interesting comment that Yaakov sort of threw it out.
Yeah, but if you couldn't be married to two sisters, why wouldn't they have been allowed to keep the sister that he loved more than the one that he
She was the second.
That's not his choice. You know, the whole story, we're not gonna discuss that story, but the whole story of Yaakov and his wives and Rachel and Leah, it's a tragedy in a sense. That, you know what I'm saying?
She wanted children and she died in childbirth.
Yeah. You know, it's a tragedy. It's really... But, not our topic. Okay, next year. Okay, or maybe last year. I don't remember. Well, definitely, I'm sure we talked about it once. Sure. Okay. So he says, whoever stole them below Yada Yaakov ki Rachel genavtam. So these trafim, remember, it's not just stam that she stole them. They have a role. Let's go on. V'yavo Lavan b'ohol Yaakov, u'b'o aleya, u'b'o shtei mahot, v'lo matza. So what does Lavan start to do? He starts to do a house-to-house search. Can you think of any? And he's searching in such a way. We know that he's searching carefully. How do we know that he's searching carefully? Because let's see. One second. He leaves Leah's tent, comes to Rachel's tent. Rachel lachat hatrafim. She took these trafim. Vatesimim bekar hagamal vateshev aliyim. She put it in the. It's almost like my afikomen, like I used to do with the afikomen. She put it in the pillow and she sat on it. Okay. So Lavan is checking so carefully that the only way that she can prevent him from finding these things is by physically sitting on it. 1 second. And it's not just enough, because if she's only sitting on it, what would he say? Move! But she can't do that. So what does she say? She says, she plays the, how should we say this? Lowest trick in the book, right? Because she says, Kiderech Nashim Li. Oh, Dad, I would get up, but you know, can't. What?
I can't.
It's the time of the month. Exactly what she says. Okay? Meaning, she says perhaps the only thing that she could possibly say, which wouldn't make her get up. Okay? Velo vayichapes, velo matzah tetrafim. What?
It was just
for Okay. I didn't hear. I don't want to know. I didn't hear either, and she doesn't want to repeat it, I'm sure.
It never worked for me.
It never worked for me. Oh. Imagine if you're Yaakov watching this whole thing. Like, it's not that Lavan like looks around. Lavan starts doing bedikat chametz on his house. And how are you, Yaakov, feeling as this is happening?
Violated.
Humiliated. Angry. Because he's looking and looking and looking. And Yaakov, remember, knows this isn't here. And after all this,
why is she hiding?
After, I remember we asked the question, why did she steal it in the first place? Why did she keep it? After all this time. Right? And after all this time, and he still so trusts me so little that he's and respects me so little that he's starting that he does a like a full, you know what I'm saying, FBI search on my home on these tents to find his stupid trefim. That's what he has to do. Now, yeah, and what did, and Vayichar Liyakov Vayarev Belavan. Yaakov becomes enraged and he fights with Lavan. Vayakov Vayomer Lilavan. Yaakov answers and he says to Lavan, Ma Pishi, Ma Chatati Ki Dilakta Achari. What have I done that's so bad that you have Lidalek, Dalakta, you chased after me? You like ran after me. You can hear him like yelling at him. You went through my whole house. What did you find? Put it on air. What did you find? But this isn't, it's not just about this. What's it about? What's Yaakov's anger about?
Everything.
But until now, what's he been until now?
Passive.
Total passive. Passive, you can say passive aggressive, but just passive. He's bottled it up until finally these stupid trefim, right? You know, it's a straw that broke the camel's back, and now Yaakov lets it all out. Okay, he says, "Let's talk about stealing." Ze esrim shana anuchi imach. I've been with you for 20 years. Rechelecha ve'izecha lo shikelu. You didn't lose a single sheep. And Rashi says that if he did lose a sheep, who paid for it? Yaakov. I didn't benefit from you. I didn't take any of your sheep. Right? An animal died, came out of my pocket. You made me pay. You stole from me day and night. And what did I say? Nothing. I work for you 16 hours a day in the cold, in the heat, in the freezing. I killed myself. I didn't sleep. Did you thank me? No. Did you pay me? No. And he's mad. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, go get him, Yaakov. Right? Zeli, asrim shana beveitecha. Avaraticha. So I worked for you for 20 years. What did I get? Abazei shana b'shtei benotecha. So for 14 years, I got two wives. V'shei shanim betzonecha. And for 6 years, you were supposed to pay me. V'atachlevet maskurti aseret monim. And you cheated me 10 times over every single time. Lulei, Elohei Avi, Elohei Abraham, Pachad Yitzchak, Hayali, Ki Atarei Kamishalachtani. If it wasn't for my God, who somehow told me what to do, you would have sent me away with nothing. But you would have. Et Anyi Vet Yegia Kapai Ra'a Elohim VaYochach Amish. God saw how much I worked, and He saw and He paid me back. You, nothing. So stop talking about your stupid trefim and get out of my face. Now, right? Vayan Lavan Vayomel Yaakov. So Lavan now, interestingly enough, like a diplomat, he doesn't back off totally, but he says, Habanot Bonotai, Vahabani Bani Banai, Vaton Soni, okay? Vachola Sharatara Eliu, listen, it's all mine. Believe no time. I said, "Elayom oliv neim asher ladu memdal." This is a pasuk, an important pasuk. V'ata lecha nichrata brit ani v'ata. Now let us establish a covenant, me and you. V'haya le'ed beini ubeinecha. What's a covenant mean? When I establish a covenant, what does that mean?
A truce.
But what is it more important when it says when I want to establish a covenant? What? A contract. But what? Why do I establish? Why does Lavan now establishing a covenant? A covenant implies I have standing, and you have standing. And so now we'll establish a truce between us, between equals. Until this point, Lavan had no intention of establishing a truce with Yaakov. Why not?
Because he had all the power.
Well, I need to, right. You don't establish a truce with someone who you dominate over. Something snapped. Something changed in Yaakov. And that change in Yaakov, Lavan immediately sensed. This is, whoa. He did. And he needed to. He needed to stand up for himself, not for Lavan. Let's assume that Lavan would have let him go.
For himself. Mm-mm. The first children.
Mm-mm.
For the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm. Why? Think not about what's happened. Think instead about what's coming. What is coming? What is coming?
Today or in the parsha?
No? In the parsha. What's coming? No.
Well, there's going to be.
Esav is coming with 400 men. Again, nobody knows. It's coming, 615th Avenue, right? Esav is
Post
coming.
Again.
What?
Post that song.
Again. Oh, we have a Facebook group. I started a Facebook group for the Shiur. I shared stuff. Okay. Esav is coming. You think that, what about the guy who you stole the birthright from, you stole the blessing from, swore to kill you? You're going to show up in front of him, and then what? You're going to beg him for mercy, but it's not his children. What's going to happen then? The Yaakov who lived in Laban's house cannot be the Yaakov that establishes a household in Eretz Canaan. He cannot be. If you're going to be the Av, right, in the sense of the forefather, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to establish Bnei Yisrael, right, there has to be a transformation. Something has to be different. And I believe, who realized this?
Laban?
No.
Rachel.
Yes. I think that, and this is my pshat, you can take it or leave it, this is why Rachel stole the Trafim. Rachel stole the Trafim specifically so that Laban would come after them.
So they would have the confrontation.
Yes. Because if they just ran away, okay, yes, run after them, not run after
it's
them.
It's more like he's a coward.
But she has to, right, it's more like he's a coward. She has to stick the knife in. Remember the thing that's important to you? He stole it. It's almost like a spitting in your face before you go. You stole my trafim. And that's exactly what Laban says. I came after you with a trafim. I wouldn't come after you if it wasn't for nothing. Mm-hmm. You left, goodbye, good riddance. But you stole my trafim. And that's why I came after you. And then Laban, Yaakov says, I didn't steal your trafim. The whole thing is about the trafim until it's not. Until it's really about the larger issue. And if that's true, I mean, what's interesting, I'll just point out to you, I'm sure it says, it's interesting, when Yaakov he called him out to the field, and he comes to Rachel and Leah, and he says to him, it's time to go. It says, Vata'an Rachel v'Leah v'tomarna. Okay? So Yaakov called Rachel and Leah. He says, why Rachel and Leah? Should be Leah and Rachel. He married Leah first. Rashi says, Rachel t'chila v'achar kach l'Leah. First Rachel and then Leah, shehi haita akeret habayit. Rachel was the Akeret HaBayit. Rachel, and even though Leah,
she was the balabaster.
She was the motivating force. She was the Akeret HaBayit. Not only the balabaster, not in that sense. She was the, okay? She b'shvila nizdaveg Yaakov im Lavan, v'af banea shel Leah modim davar. She's the force. She's the motivating force for the whole thing. He loved her, he wanted her, and even Leah knew this. This is like, all the tension is based on that. You know what I'm saying? She motivates that change. She understands that something has got to get Yaakov to turn the switch on.
Did she have some Navi, sense of Navi?
Nevuah? Nevuah?
No,
she's not listed as one of the Nevi'ah. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, so again, I say you can take the pshat or you can leave it. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm making it up. But it just seems to answer a lot of our questions. Why would she steal the trafim? She doesn't need the trafim. She doesn't want the trafim. She doesn't want anybody to find the trafim. And as soon as he's gone, what does she do with the trafim? We never hear from them again. Right? But she needs the trafim. Why? Because she needs him to come after them. Yeah, she needs to provoke the confrontation.
She didn't have to take them with her, though.
Mm. Well, true, but then if they're not found, I don't know, you don't know how it's going to play out. It could very well be that she wants to take them out in the end. What if Yaakov continues to cower? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Like, he doesn't know what's going to happen. What if he doesn't produce? And does she have to bring them out? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? That's a good point. It's not a faultless shot. You can take it, you know, or leave it. But one does get the sense that Rachel has an innate sense of that pushes Yaakov to become more than he is. And she was always like that. You know, even from the very beginning of the Parsha, as soon as he sees her, what does he do? You remember this? The beginning of the Parsha, right? There's a big stone on the well. You know what I'm saying? And when he sees her, Right? He himself moves this rock that three men couldn't move. Right? She brings him to move mountains, as it were. Right? That's her role.
She saw her
that's her job.
Essence and needed it to come out.
And right, I would agree. At least that's the way I'm, that's what I'm saying. And I think that there's a, you'll all take this the way you see it, but there's a powerful lesson in that. That real akarot habayit will say, it's not, I don't think it's healthy to be manipulative, right? You know what I'm saying? There's clearly stuff going on here that doesn't need to go on. But an akarot habayit should be able to motivate her bayit, which is her husband, and her family, in ways to make them be better than they are, in ways that they wouldn't otherwise be. And, you know, sometimes, as much as the husband, you know, wants to go out and learn, or wants to get the chavruta, or wants to go and be more active, you know what I'm saying? Sorry, guys, it's your job. It's your responsibility, because he's going to help in the house, or he's going to do it at a bail, or, you know what I'm saying, we're weak, we're men, what are you going to do?
That's,
you know,
one
I'm willing to say that.
Explanations of Ezra Kenegdo, you have to go Kenegdo sometimes to be Ezra.
Right. Don't blame me, though, when your husband, when you're nudging them, don't blame me, okay. But there's...
It was like that before.
It was like that before. Yeah. But sometimes you need to be reminded that Rachel was the Akeret HaBayit, and the Akeret HaBayit transformed Yaakov from the cowering Vayivrach, the language of stealing the heart of... Really, you want to hear that about Lavan? From that person to the person where he makes a brit. Okay, and in the end, right, that, remember, and afterwards, immediately after this, the next week's parsha, Yaakov doesn't even just meet Esav physically; he meets him spiritually, Sarosh al Esav, right? And it says, "Ki sarita im anashim v'im elokim v'tuchal." You struggled. Why? It was in him, but he didn't know it. He didn't see it. His whole life, he's been pushed around and manipulated until somebody finally pushed him to the point where he said, "No, enough." And that's the basis for Klal Yisrael. We're not a nation. Right? When we run away, when we cheat, when we steal, we don't do ourselves a favor as a people. We stand up for ourselves, and we defend ourselves, and we defend our rights, and protect our birthright. Right? That's when we are at our best. And that's when we represent the Kadosh Baruch Hu. All right, stop here.